Neither the Father, nor the Son, nor the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Ark of the Covenant, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's readings for the liturgy, especially the Song of Songs, the Canticle of Canticles, gives us an insight into the great longing of the lover and the beloved, which is symbolic of the love of Christ for his church or Christ for the individual soul, is what it's trying to portray in very poetic terms. And especially in this, as we're approaching Christmas, we realize with what a great longing that our Lord had and a great love that he had for us, and that he was eager, you know, to come to us. But how eager was the longing of the soul, the soul that wanted to be, to have its Messiah, to have their beloved come to them, the longing of the people. Of course, many times Israel stopped longing for him, but there were still always some righteous souls that were longing and couldn't wait for the Messiah to come. And we saw, of course, Anna and Simeon in the temple. You know, they were those souls that were really couldn't wait for their Lord and Savior to come to them. And so this poetic passage really gives us an indication of how we too should be approaching our Lord and longing for him to come to us as he does, especially every time we come to Holy Mass and receive him in Holy Communion. This great longing and love that God has for us should inspire us to even want to come to him even more, especially as we sing the O Antiphons during these special days as we approach Christmas. You get a sense of that longing in the old Gregorian chants because of the beginning with the letter O. You know, and the way it draws it out is that the soul is sighing and longing for their Messiah, for their Savior. And the people of old were waiting, and because they knew they needed help. And that's why it says in the responsorial psalm, "Exult, you just, in the Lord, sing to him a new song." The exultation of to rejoice. The rejoicing that we know that Christmas is a season of joy. That exaltation or that joy is almost, you might say, like a man who's been released from prison. The kind of joy that one has when one is freed from some bond or bondage. That is the kind of joy that is exhibited in the faithful, and especially the season of Christmas as we approach it, is the Savior. You know, someone has saved us and released us from a terrible thing, from terrible consequences if we accept him. And so that is truly the reason why the Christmas season has always been seen, and these times in preparation for Christmas, even though they are a certain penitential theme, they also have this great sense of joyful expectation. And we find this fulfilled in the gospel today when Our Lady sets out after hearing that she is to be with child with the Son of God. She makes haste because she hears that her cousin Elizabeth is also with child, and she who is already an elderly woman, Our Lady knows and is inspired by the Holy Spirit to go and assist her. And God uses the occasion of this act of charity on the part of Our Lady to bring about even a far greater act of charity, and that is the sanctification of John in Elizabeth's womb and the filling Elizabeth with the Holy Spirit, who cries out and makes a great prophetic statement and also makes a great act of faith in that she says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, I don't know where all of our Protestant brothers and sisters are, but they who love to know Scripture and always like to dissect every little word, especially, should recognize in there's a statement made by Saint Elizabeth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, referring to Our Lady as the Mother of God, because every good Jew could not use the word Yahweh. They had other words that they substituted for, and one is Adonai. So when Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and says that, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord," she is saying, "Who am I that the mother of my Yahweh, who am I that the mother of God should come to me?" So we are not, it's very scriptural that Our Lady is Theotokos, that she is truly the mother of our God, the mother of God. And what a great blessing it is that she should visit her and visit us. I think that St. Maximian Kolbe had it correct in his idea that evangelization had to be Marian for it to be successful. And if the new evangelization that Pope Francis talks about, if it's going to be new, it has to be Marian. If it's going to be any kind of type of evangelization worth the word, worth its weight, it has to be Marian, or it's not going to evangelize. It isn't going to be evangelization. It's going to be just beating the air. It's not going to be giving any kind of fruit to anyone if it doesn't involve Our Lady and isn't done in a way that is Marian. That's what this first event in this sacred history of Our Lady's visitation to her cousin Elizabeth is pointing out to us, that when God comes to us, he always comes to us preceded by Our Lady with the graces that she gives, and it'll be more effective to the point that we probably make it more explicit that we're doing it in a Marian way. That is why Elizabeth was kind of overcome by the fact, you know, that the Holy Spirit said not only that she was inspired to know that something great just occurred in her womb, but even more so that it was through the mediation of Our Lady that she received this grace. And so today, as we prepare for Christmas, you know, we want to do so, as the Office of Readings today said, that, you know, to the degree that we do and become like Our Lady, you know, if we are pure, we avoid sin, we strive to be pleasing to God, we too will be magnifying the Lord. And that's what really, if we were going to evangelize, as I said earlier, that's why we need to do it in a Marian way. To the degree that we do it like Our Lady, then we will truly magnify the Lord by our words and our deeds. And right now, that really needs to be, our Lord needs to be magnified in our culture today. When you speak your mind about the truth and you're accosted for it and persecuted for it, you truly need to magnify the presence of the Lord in our culture, in our world, in our families. And we begin to do that by living a good life, living a pure life, living a holy life like Our Lady. And to that degree, then we will truly magnify the Lord. And we need to, today, as we reflect and prepare for Christmas, maybe there's something that we need to do to change or to ask God for that grace that we need, that we will be a better magnifier, that we will truly make our Lord more present by our words and our deeds than we have in the past. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.